Good morning, film fans, and welcome to The Real Rundown, your show for everything film, rants, and discussions. I am Epic Film Guy Nick.
I am Epic Film Guy Justin, and man, I swear, hearing that music right now has got to be the most one of the most iconic themes of all film history.
I agree.
And in less than 40 minutes, it will be the actual date that Doc and Marty go to the future, October 21st, 2015, and
by
back
the time
to the future,
this actually,
too.
By the time this airs, it will be October 21st, 2015. So, happy Back to the Future 2 Day, I guess. I don't know.
Happy Future Day?
Is that what we're nicknaming it, or is somebody else already called that?
I think it's Future Day. I'm saying Back to the Future Day. Whatever. It's the 30th anniversary, and just thinking about this logically, it's such a huge year for Back to the Future fans in general, only because it's not only the 30th anniversary, but it's the 26th anniversary of Back to the Future 2, and the iconic date happens this year. And it's the date that so many fans, movie fans, nerds in general, have looked forward to since, I mean, hey, myself, I was 10 years old watching Back to the Future 2 anytime it was on TV until my parents bought me the box set on VHS. I mean, it's huge. So, and I'm lucky enough that tomorrow night, I'm going to be seeing Back to the Future 2 at a screening at the Alamo Drafthouse, get my special edition pint glass with the DeLorean on it. It's going to be an event for the ages. Hey.
I'm jealous because I want a fucking pint glass with a DeLorean on it. But no, that's absolutely amazing. Did you go with me when I went to Music and watched Back to the Future a couple years ago in that big XD theater down there? The cinema.
I did not.
Because I know I took the kids down there, and I don't think either one of them had seen Back to the Future. That was certainly a great moment for me to segue into great moments.
Well, it's fantastic. I actually saw it when they did the 25th anniversary of the first Back to the Future. I saw it at the local AMC in Vestal. Right. They did a screening of it, and I actually still have the 25th anniversary theatrical poster they gave out at the screening. It was sold out. And it was before they redid the seats and the screens and everything, but it was awesome. I flew solo. I did the whole showing to myself. And then this year, as you know, I actually met Leah Thompson and Alan Silvestri at the Back to the Future 30th anniversary event here at the Wolf Trap Center, where they
that.
Had.
I remember what I think when you posted the photo up to the page, someone asked what she smelled like.
She smelled like a goddess. I mean, it was amazing. They had the live symphony orchestra playing the score behind the film on a huge HD screen. You know, probably one of the best cinematic experiences of my life, and I say that a lot, but it truly was. And you know, the crowd was thousands upon thousands of people. It's the most people I've ever seen a film with in one place. It was an event, and that just shows the true love that movie fans and just general moviegoers have for this franchise.
It will be the biggest movie you've seen with a crowd until, oh, say, December 17th or so. But we'll get there later in the podcast. So don't worry, film fans. Our Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer breakdown is coming. I remember, and you know, it was very, very nice, that theater in Music, that big, beautiful XD screen. I know we saw Ghostbusters there, and it was amazing. And just to see the original Back to the Future again, which I hadn't seen in quite a long time. I actually haven't seen, well, 2 and 3 I haven't seen in quite some time. And I don't know, what would you say is your favorite Back to the Future film? If you had to pick one, if you just had to pick one, which is your favorite?
Well, this actually took many years for me to come to this conclusion, because I'll be completely honest with you, dude, completely honest. When I was growing up, the second one was my favorite. I always loved the second one. And it took a long time and many years. And then when I got the DVD box set, and then, you know, years later when the Blu-ray box set came out, I watched these films over and over. You know, anytime, it was like, it's like comfort food, man. You want to feel comfortable, you either watch a Spielberg movie or Back to the Future, or for me, you know, Tim Burton's Batman. In this case, I've watched, exactly, that's another one. It's just like, I analyze these films. And when it comes down to it, it's the same thing for me as the Halloween franchise or anything else. It's the first one. I love the second one. It's very, and I wanted to get into this a little bit on why I love the second one so much, but the first one is a classic. I mean, it was the first of its kind. It still is the only of its kind, in my opinion. Nothing else has ever come close to it, you know, in time travel movies or anything else. There's nothing else like
the
first Back to the Future.
With all three movies, you've got the amazing eccentricity of Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown. You've got just that boyish charm that Michael J. Fox had as Marty McFly. And of course, I'm sorry, the name of the actor is escaping me at the moment. Fuck, this is why I need to pull up cast
list. Crispin Glover.
Not Crispin Glover. Glover. I'm not
Thomas F. Wilson?
No, Biff. Who played Biff?
Thomas F.
Wilson.
Was
it Thomas F. Wilson? I need to bring cast lists up in front of me. But, you know, just, you know, his brutish nature and being the big bully and everything like that. I don't know. For me, it's hard for me to pick. I always have had this weird sore spot for the third one because I love that they merged a Western into the sci-fi kind of feel for it, and you know they have all those great Western tropes that they just kind of make fun of in that
like
film.
All the Clint Eastwood homages and all the I know, and I actually do. I found a love for the third one as years went by. I won't lie, as a kid, it was one I'd always skip. Or if it was on TV, I'd watch parts of it. I didn't care as much for it. Only because what makes those movies so important to me, and you know how much I love the 80s, is that 80s feel. Yeah. And I love the 50s. The 50s is like, aside from the 80s, my favorite era. And I love the way that they mesh the 80s and the 50s. And then in the second film, you get the 80s, you get the 50s, and then you get the future, dude. I mean, how can you beat that? It's fantastic. Ooh. And I think that's one of the reasons why, and I give so much credit to the sequel, a lot of people look at trilogies, and they always look at that second film as, they always pull that one apart. Obviously, the third film is always kind of like the weaker one. You talk about the Star Wars franchise, Indiana Jones, you talk about the Dark Knight trilogy, any trilogy, and usually people say, oh, the third one's not that good. The second one's always supposed to be the best. I don't think the second one is the best for Back to the Future. However, I think it is one of the best second films in a franchise or a trilogy ever done. There's a lot of reasons for that. It goes darker. It's almost like Empire. When you look, Empire Strikes Back, when you look at it that way, it gets darker. It still develops the characters perfectly. The timeline's perfectly paced. Everything's good. I mean, they keep everything the same except for, you know, a little bits and pieces here and there. But, I mean, I think it's probably one of the most solid second films ever. And this is before you got really good second films. It wasn't a known thing. I mean, Empire came out. That was like the first really good second film that people were like, oh, my God, this is almost better than the first one. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I've always had a soft spot for the third one. I don't know if I'd pick that as my favorite, though. I would actually probably pick Back to the Future 2. I love time travel as a trope anyway. So I have always been fascinated by it, especially that whole, you know, Biff takes the sports almanac and takes it back in time and delivers it to his younger self, and it completely changes the entire future. I love alt history stuff like that. So that's probably why I would say part two is my favorite film, but I don't know. I don't really have a lot else to say about it, but
I honestly, I'm super excited right now at this moment. I don't know if I mentioned to you before the podcast started, but anyone that went to New York Comic Con knows that they gave away limited quantities of Pepsi Perfect, the classic Pepsi bottle you see in Cafe 80s when Marty first goes in and sees his future son there, and he has to basically save his ass from Griff, which is Biff's grandson. Fantastic moment in the trilogy. Love it. And I love the Pepsi Perfect. I've always wanted it. There have been replicas out there, but tonight at supposedly at midnight, Pepsi is officially releasing only 6,500 Pepsi Perfect bottles with the box, the case, everything you see in the movie, aside from the fact that it's just regular Pepsi. But they're releasing it on Amazon and Walmart.com. And I'm going to be sitting here, probably while we're doing this podcast, and I'm going to be waiting for that to hit. I don't even care if I have to stay up till 4 in the morning. It's $20-some to get this thing. I've been waiting forever to get one. Obviously, I'm still waiting on the Power Laces. They're supposed to hit later this year. But aside from that, I'm going to be waiting on that bottle. And I can't wait till tomorrow night to see Back to the Future 2 at that screening at Alamo Draft House. Super excited.
Nice. Well, and I hear you taking a swig there, Justin. So let's segue into the Epic Beer Guys time for tonight and tell me what you're drinking.
Why don't you tell me what you're drinking?
I am drinking my absolute favorite beer. This is the top of the chain for me. It does not get better than Long Trail Brewing's Limbo IPA. I absolutely love this beer. The complexity of this beer and just that right amount of hops just kicks your ass right at the end of it. It's got a lot of good pine flavor coming all the way through from the tip to the finish. It's just fantastic. I love this beer. I cannot say enough good things about it. And nothing for nothing, but I also love breweries who take time out to, you know, respond to people that really love their beer. And Long Trail Brewing, very big on that on social media. Every time I check this beer in on Untappd, they're always retweeting and responding to me. So I definitely appreciate that.
I am drinking Jacques O'Lantern. And it's a malt beverage brewed with pumpkin and spices. I've actually already had this. And this beer is from Evolution Craft Brewing Company. I've had this twice now. It's one of the most solid pumpkin beers I've had so far this season. And the first beer I had tonight, I gave it a second shot, and I actually liked it a lot more tonight. It's the Flying Dog The Fear Imperial Pumpkin Ale. This baby is 8% and actually, excuse me, 9%. Tastes fantastic. It's got a nice hint of pumpkin to it. But for those IPA lovers and pale ale lovers, it's perfect for the season. Loving the beer I'm drinking right now, though. I don't know what I'll get into after this, but
I did really enjoy their Gourd Standard, too. That was, I think I had that last week during the podcast, that pumpkin IPA. I really enjoyed that one, too.
Just, you know, no pumpkin this week. I got in trouble by filling my wife's pumpkin bottle full of water and pretending it was beer and putting it back in the fridge. I did it. If you listen to last week's podcast, you'll know that I drank the pumpkin during the podcast. I filled it up with water, put it back in the fridge, and my wife didn't believe me the entire day that I did that until later that evening. And then I had to go buy her another bottle, and I got scolded for it.
You know, and what you should have done, because she doesn't listen to the podcast, and she doesn't pay attention to...
No, she
doesn't pay attention to our Twitter feed, obviously. So what you should have done was just left the water in the bottle until she went to open it and take a drink of it. But then she probably would have, like, chased you around the house with the bottle and beat you senseless with it.
Yeah, I don't want to get a bottle smashed over my face. You know, I care about my looks here. I'm getting older, in my early 30s, but hey, I still care about my looks, man. I got to get my beauty sleep.
Well, don't steal the wife's beer. See, that's why it's great that the fiancé, she doesn't drink IPAs or anything, so I never have to worry about it. And she, I mean, if she wants to get shitty pumpkin beer like pumpkin, she's more than welcome to it.
Hey, what did we talk about here? No, don't slander the name. I don't want to hear you talking any trash about pumpkin. You know that you're the minority here. Okay?
I do know that I'm in the minority. I'm definitely in the minority. And speaking of things I'm going to be in the minority about, it is finally time. We're going to talk. We're going to talk about that Star Wars The Force Awakens final trailer. Trailer number 2. I'm going to cut the audio.
How can it be final? How can it be final?
Because it is. We're less than 2 months away from release.
That's not fair.
And I know you've got your tickets, and I know I've got my tickets, and
I got a story to talk about for my tickets.
See, I don't. I got my tickets. I went online at 8 o'clock. I went on Fandango, checked them out, picked my seats in my row that I always sit in at AMC. 7 o'clock on the 17th, I will be there watching the glory unfold. First showing, first night. Cannot fucking wait. I don't even have any Star Wars, like toys or any nonsense to dress myself in. I'm probably going to be the only one in the theater that's not fucking wearing a Jedi cloak or swinging a lightsaber around or with Darth Maul horns glued to my head or anything like that.
We'll see about that. When I come up for Christmas break and we go see it for, it'll probably be my fourth or fifth time by then. We'll see about that. I'm going to dress you up as an Ewok, and you're going to fucking love it. A big old cute teddy bear.
You can dress me as an Ewok if I can dress you as Jabba the Hutt. But that means you have to sit out in the fucking parking lot and not move because he's a giant fat fuck and he can't even move.
Hey, if you want to do this, if you promise to be an Ewok, I'll stop dieting and going to the gym and I'll just start eating like garbage every fucking day and drinking a case of beer, Bud Light, Keystone, you name it, to be as fat as fuck as I can be. To be Jabba the Hutt.
I don't think you can drink. I don't think you can drink those cheesy ass light beers to be Jabba the Hutt. You got to drink like, get yourself.
I'll die.
IPAs are some of the most calorically dense beers I've learned. They also read that they gave you man titties. So I'm proudly swaying mine back and forth right now.
I'm telling you, I'll die. I'll die if I drink seriously because I love them so much. I'll just keep drinking them like it's water. All night. And as you know, the Epic Film Guys 31 Day Horror Challenge is not finished yet, so I'll be gulping them down, bro.
It is still not finished, no. And you know what? Not to detour too much away from The Force Awakens, because I know we're so eager to get to that, but I am halfway through The Returned, which I found on Netflix, and I wasn't sure what to think about it. The first half of it, though, is actually pretty good. It's a world in which zombies exist, like there's a zombie outbreak, but they found like a sort of cure for it. But you have to be injected with this protein every single day to keep you from turning into a zombie, and they like start to run low on the protein, and then there's all these people that are like against it, like, you know, they're zombies, so they like break into the hospital and fucking shoot them all and stuff like that. It's actually really, really cool. It's, I mean, it's kind of cheesy acting and stuff like that. But pretty damn cool, so I can't wait to finish that. I fell asleep, unfortunately, because I was trying to do a doubleheader one night after I watched that fucking horrible The Nurse fucking movie, which is so fucking bad. I just passed out. I couldn't take anymore.
As I said to you, I sent you a text, okay? Listen. Silence of the Lambs is on there, okay? It's on Netflix. It's an Academy Award-winning thriller horror film, one of the best ever made. You're watching The Nurse.
But, Justin, I got to hear Paz de la Huerta deliver all of her lines just like this, like she recorded them, and then someone slowed the track down so it would sound like she had seven dicks in her mouth or whatever. I don't even know. Like, that's literally, that's what she sounded like the whole fucking movie. She just, like, literally spoke at half the rate of speech of everyone else. She'd be like, hey, what's going on? And I don't even know why
Nick,
I picked it out.
Stop.
I can't even help it.
Stop. Is talking like that, you're kind of turning me on a little bit. But you need to stop, man. If that's how she talks, I like it.
Do you like that? So do you like that kind of slow drawling speech? Like, bleh.
That's how girls sound when they're really wasted before you take them home. So, sorry, love. I love you, Danielle, my wife. But
she's not listening.
She'll never.
Otherwise, she'd have been real mad at you for drinking her pumpkin. I say every time she gets beer, you get it out of the fridge and you drink it on the real rundown and fill it with water until she goes back and drinks it. And you tell her you're going to keep doing it until she promises to listen to the podcast.
She could care less.
She'll just go really buy more beer and she'll be like, go fuck yourself. So, and as we said, we're very, very, very eager to get into The Force Awakens. We're very, very eager to break into this trailer. So I'm going to cut some of the trailer audio in here throughout this segment, but we are going to just play the entire thing. We're doing the whole thing, Justin.
Are we really?
We are. I'm going to cut the whole thing in because you had mentioned this to me before the podcast, and I agreed with you that just you don't even have to see the visuals. Just,
no, you
just
don't.
Listening
you don't.
To it, it gives you just... Oh, you just feel that Williams score, that John Williams score just surges through
new music. It is. New John Williams
absolutely
music.
Absolutely surges through your veins and just it just brings to life every tingle of nostalgia, every tingle that you could possibly have ever waited to feel. I know we had the prequel trilogy and I know a lot of people don't like the prequel trilogy. If you've read my reviews over on WordPress, you know that I am actually, I'm pretty okay with the prequels. But this is different because this includes the original cast, this, you know, Han Solo, Skywalker, all of them, they're all back. And it's just something different. So I'm going to cut the whole audio in here, and then we're going to get to talking about this trailer.
Who are you?
I'm no one. About what happened.
It's true. All of it. The dark side. A Jedi.
Force. It's calling to you. Just let it in.
Just that music as the logo reveals, Justin. What did you feel when that logo first popped up on the screen?
I cried.
I thought you were going to say you had to clean out your pants, but that's a close second.
I literally, last night it didn't, I watched it on my TV probably 10 times. Then I watched it on my phone, then I watched it on my computer. And as I told you earlier, I went to bed real late because I had to soak this in. And then as soon as I woke up, I almost forgot for like the first split second that I woke up that the final trailer for Star Wars, The Force Awakens, the first Star Wars movie in theaters since how many years has it been?
10 years since Revenge of the Sith. 2005 was
Revenge of the Sith. I literally just immediately grabbed my phone, started watching it, went down to my complex gym, started doing cardio and just listened to it, watched it, listened to it. And the first five times that I listened to it and watched it, I teared up like extremely, like running down my face. This happened with the other trailers, the teaser and the second trailer. But I mean, there's something about that new John Williams music. And
to be fair, that also happens whenever Justin sees me with my shirt off, but that's beside the point.
This is Star Wars. Nothing else. And I was thinking of this earlier. For real. I mean, I can't be more serious about this. I was thinking about this earlier. Nothing else can touch that moment. There's nothing else that tugs on your heartstrings like Star Wars does. If there is, you name it. You tell me what it is, because I don't know what thing is universally known and loved as much as Star Wars, where people can watch a trailer for a movie that they haven't even seen yet, and they get that kind of emotion.
Yeah, no, this transcends any of your superhero flicks. This transcends any kind of genre pick, anything, because it is Star Wars. I mean, you're talking in 2 years, it's going to be the 40th anniversary of A New Hope, of the original film. I mean, that's how long this has been part of the culture. You're talking generations here that have gone to see these movies. And of course, divided as people may be about them, the prequels introduced Star Wars to a whole new generation. And now Episode 7 is going to come along, and from what we can hope anyway, it's going to tie all those generations together. It's going to bring back the old cast. it's going to introduce this really great looking new cast. And I want to talk about that too. And it's just, it looks like a return to form. When you watch the trailer, and the biggest thing, the biggest difference to take away from it, and again, ardent defender of the prequels here, but if you watch these scenes, they're not that busy. There's not so much going on. Your eye, I mean, and that's one of the things that I think Lucas lost as a filmmaker over the years of doing nothing, frankly, is that ability to stage a scene, that ability to set up a shot so that your eye gets drawn to one thing. You know, and I go to that opening space battle in Revenge of the Sith and how fucking absurdly busy it is. There's so much going on. That's probably like half of ILM's fucking effects budget for the year on that thing, or some crazy shit like that. But it's just crazy. And then you take a look at this, and one thing that I think even people that love or, you know, like, I strongly like the prequels, even people that are fans of and defenders of the prequels can readily admit, or at least I hope they can, is that the prequels were way too effects heavy. And I think all the trailers, not just this one, but I think all the trailers have proven that we're not going to get that in this film. There's definitely some big effects shots in here, but not nearly in the all-encompassing aspect. And Justin, you know exactly what I mean when I say
I do. And the main thing that I take away from this trailer and the teaser and the most recent, the second trailer as well, is even though when the prequels were coming out and you'd watch the trailers, there was a hint of that feeling of Star Wars. Like, you're like, okay, you know this is Star Wars. It feels like Star Wars. This, you don't even have to think about it. It's like embedded in your being. Like, you just hear it. You watch it. You see it. And it's Star Wars, dude. I mean, you grow up with this. For our generation especially, and the one before ours, you know, that got to see these movies in the theaters growing up. I mean, we're a little bit past that. We didn't get to see the originals in the theaters upon their first releases. I think I was born, actually, the year of Jedi. So, I mean, it's special. But when I watch this trailer, all I can say is this is Star Wars. I don't feel anything else outside of that. It doesn't feel like it's foreign. It's true to heart for me based on the trailers. I have a very strong, deep feeling inside me that this is the movie that we've been waiting for since, you know, Return of the Jedi hit theaters. No offense to the prequels. I know you like a lot of them. I like a lot of them, and I'll be getting to that next month in my whole rant view piece of the prequels, and then in December of the original films. But this just feels so much stronger to me.
I don't believe any word better encapsulates the epic film, guys, than rant view.
I don't know. I came up with it.
We review stuff. We do review stuff. And I'm very, very, very glad that you did that video review of Goosebumps, by the way. Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Even though I didn't watch it because I haven't watched the film, and I probably never will. So
honestly, I mean, like, not to go off and cut in the middle of Star Wars, I actually really enjoyed Goosebumps. It was a really fun time. I mean, a lot of things happened that made no sense, but it's the middle of October. Actually, right now it's later than that, but perfect for a family release and fun monster action, and I love the hell out of that movie. I think it fits perfectly within the family film list that you watch every Halloween season. But at this point, all I care about is Star Wars. That's all I want to talk about. You want to hear me talk about Goosebumps? Go watch my rant view on the page.
I don't want to hear you talk about it, definitely.
No, of course.
Everybody else, please go to the page and watch Justin's review. And again, thank you very much for taking the time to get that review in, Justin. But yeah, we've got so much more to talk about with this Star Wars trailer. So I want to go through it, and I want to just highlight some stuff right off the bat.
All right. Now, let's get this out of the way, because this is a huge, big, big deal on social media right now. Memes everywhere. I see right now people are posting it as we speak. The whole, and I know you have a lot to say about this, the whole Kylo Ren being Luke Skywalker.
Oh,
let's
Jesus
hear it.
Christ.
Go. Unleash it.
Well, no, this is going to be part of a new segment that we're going to do called Nick's Rants. But do you want me to get into the whole thing? Because I can rant about my criticisms and
I
rant
hear,
about fanboys all at once.
I want to hear something about this.
Do you want me to do it in
this.
Pockets?
I want to hear something about this right now because this is so relevant to social media and nerd forums and everything because all I see on every single comment section or message board is the majority of people that don't know anything about this movie literally think that Kylo Ren, who is played by Adam Driver, mind you, is Luke Skywalker.
All right, well, and we're going to cut then to at least the first segment then of Nick's rants. Wrong!
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore! Dennis! I'm going to send you to Sing Sing! Sing Sing, Dennis!
Luke Skywalker's not fucking Kylo Ren. What the fuck is wrong with people? No, it's, I'm sorry, Adam Driver, and there's a shot in the trailer in the forest when, you know, you've got Finn standing there with Anakin's lightsaber ignited, and Kylo Ren is approaching him, sans mask, and I want to talk about the fucking mask, but sans mask, and you see Adam Driver's hair and everything, and we've seen the release pics of Adam Driver as Kylo Ren. It's not Luke Skywalker. I get that people are confused because they don't see him in the trailer, and fanboys need to try to invent some reasoning for where could Luke be, what's Luke doing, who's Luke touching, who knows. So I get it, but Kylo Ren is not Luke Skywalker. They're not the same character. They're not even close to the same character. Have you seen Hamill lately? Have you seen Adam Driver? Adam Driver is tall, thin, lanky. Mark Hamill, short, not lanky. So it's not even close. Absolutely not even close. Do you want me to keep going, Justin, or do you want to cut in here?
You go for it, man. I mean, for me, it's nonsensical at this point in time. For anyone that's been following these films, to the basic extent that I haven't gone into any spoilers. I know the basic idea of what the film's about, and I've watched the trailers. And I've looked at promotional photos and such. It's obviously not Luke Skywalker. I know that we see in the trailer, the new trailer, the same shot we saw in the last one, of Luke touching R2. There's a lot of speculation as to where he is. Not going to go in depth about that. Possibly in a Jedi hideaway monastery type thing. I don't know. I'm not going too deep into it, but he is not Kylo Ren. Now,
I actually raised the question. I wondered because in that shot of him placing his hand on R2, you see like fire and like, you know, whatever shooting, you know, in front of them. It's off screen, but it's in front of them. And I wondered if for whatever reason they were on Mustafar. Probably not. I doubt it, but it was just a cool little thing that I hadn't noticed for whatever reason in the first trailer, I guess because I hadn't paid as much attention to it. But then you've also got people that are going on that Luke's going to fall to the dark side. Luke's going to go to the dark side because he's wearing a black cloak. Apparently, they forgot to watch Return of the Jedi.
Exactly.
Because Luke wears black in the entire movie. And newsflash, people, I'm sorry that I have to be the one to continue to say this. It was announced by Disney and Lucasfilm over a year ago, the EU is not canon. None of the nonsense, none of those novels, and you know what? Some of them are even good stories. It's not all nonsense, but all of the EU, the whole thing, it's not canon, okay? They're not going to clone Darth Sidious or Palpatine, whatever you want to call him. They're not going to clone him 10 times. Luke Skywalker's not going to the dark side. And another thing, that brings me to another point. Kylo Ren and Rey are not Jason and Jaina Solo. They're not in the movie. Anakin Solo's not in the movie. Mary Jade Skywalker's not in the movie. None of the EU characters are in the movie. The EU is not canon. I don't know how many more times I can say it. I have typed it probably 100 times in the past 24 hours, and that probably says a lot more about how obsessive a fanboy I am than anything else. I get that. That's fine. But the EU is not canon, people. There will be characters in this movie that probably share similarities with or are coincidentally similar to some characters in the EU. It's inevitable because the EU is a vast, vast wellspring of just endless resources. I get it, but it's not canon. They're not in this film. It infuriates me to fucking read that shit because people still don't get it and they argue with you online over and over.
They do.
No, they're not following the books. Oh, no, Luke's turned to the dark side. That's what happens in the novels and they're adapting it. See, he's wearing a black cloak. It makes me want to throw shit at people.
Well,
I'm getting the brain pains, Coach.
Let's not have an aneurysm. But so we both saw the trailer. We both watched it at the same exact time that the other 4 million people did in this country.
No, mine was on about a 1 minute delay thanks to NFL Mobile.
But let's hear it. Outside of you wanting to murder and destroy about 20,000 fanboys right now, your first impressions of the trailer.
You want me to rate the trailer? Do you want me to rant view the trailer? Okay. 8 out of 10. And I can get into that more if you want me to, but 8 out of 10.
8 out of 10 for an actual rating of the trailer?
For a rating of the trailer, yes.
How so? Let's hear it.
Because a couple things. Number one, and you even posted a screenshot of this on our Facebook page, but that shitty garbage looking paintball mask that fucking Kylo Ren's wearing in that shot, that fucking thing looks terrible in that shot. I don't know what it is about that shot, but it looks like a paintball mask. I almost wanted to grab the CO2 canisters and run up the EMR and start. I was waiting for a paint splatter to go across his face. I don't think I had seen a close-up shot of it like that before, but it just does not look good to me. That's number one. Number two, I don't get why we are some, we'll say 50 to 60 years removed from Revenge of the Sith, from the fall of the Old Republic to The Force Awakens, okay? We're about 30 years removed from Return of the Jedi, you know, and, well, it's probably more closer to 60 years. But even still, why are the Jedi... And why is the Force, and why is all this, why is it like a legend? It's not like it's been like hundreds of years where this stuff would have fallen into the wayside. Like the technology in the Star Wars universe is pretty expansive. And it's not like people wouldn't have kept records. It's not like there weren't like holographic recordings and images and all this different stuff that verify that the Jedi and all this stuff are a real thing. So why is it in The Force Awakens? And again, this is just the way it's depicted in the trailer, but it's depicted as if it's like this myth that nobody even believes anymore. And I know A New Hope has some of that too. And in my review for A New Hope, I'm actually going to criticize that. But that's one of my biggest beefs with this thing is how fucking like... absent-minded are the people in the Star Wars universe that they can't even remember shit that happened 50 years ago. You know, like, I'm sorry, but I don't get it why it's all of a sudden like they're talking about it like it's this big legend or anything like that. Like, these records would still be out there. Like, this stuff would still exist. The Jedi were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic for 1,000 years. There's no fucking records of any of this shit anymore. Did Palpatine go on, like, this massive purge and fucking just eliminate it all?
I am actually the opposite side of this discussion because I actually love how mythic and how it's almost like a legend. I love the idea of the Jedi as being that because...
I love the idea of it, and I agree with the idea of it if we weren't only like 50, 60 years removed from the fall of the Jedi and the fall of the Old Republic. If it was like 500 years, fine. It's way too short a time frame for me.
Who knows what kind of world they're living in, where what kind of information they receive and what they're being told. We don't know that part of what world they're in. So that's why I think that being reintroduced into the franchise makes it work better, because what George Lucas did in the prequels, one of the main things he did to ruin it, let's not talk about
midichlorians,
but... That whole thing is very touchy subject for any movie fan, especially Star Wars fans.
I don't think anybody that I don't think even the most ardent defender of the Phantom Menace could call that necessary.
that took away that mythic feeling of the Force. And I think they're doing their best at really trying to put that back into the franchise. And I think maybe, hey, they may be putting it in a little bit too much. We don't know. We haven't seen the movie, but I liked Han Solo's little speech. I liked that they're going to him and he's telling the story. I like it because, hey, he was the naysayer, man. Everyone knows from the original trilogy, he's the one that was just like, the hell with that. You know, I'm a skeptic. That's not true. And for to see him this many films later being the one telling the story, it's true. All of it. I loved it. I loved the voiceover. And not to go off on a
tangent. The voiceover was great.
But if you can bitch all you want. And we had a recent discussion on our Facebook page about a lot of fans thought that Harrison Ford phoned in his last Indiana Jones performance. This, if this isn't Han fucking Solo, I don't know what the fuck is. That, to me, in the trailer, seeing Harrison Ford and hearing him, now granted, it's just a trailer, we haven't seen the movie, I don't know, but that's Han Solo, dude. There's no question in my mind. I didn't look at that and say, that's Harrison Ford. I felt and heard and saw Han Solo. That's only one little small speck of this trailer. We saw Leia.
That's very, very true.
We saw Carrie Fisher's Leia. We saw her. We saw her hugging Han Solo. We saw it. We did,
which was actually really nice to see because I was really hoping. And this is another thing that I wanted to talk about because so many people are so sure that at least one of two characters is a child of either Luke Skywalker or the Solos. They're either convinced that the more likely of the two, which is Kylo Ren, or Rey, which as far as I'm concerned is a vastly unlikely choice. I don't like that choice at all. But, you know, I was worried that, you know, they'd take, you know, Han Solo and Princess Leia and they'd kind of separate them or whatever in the film. And it doesn't appear that that's the case anymore. So I'm very, very glad to see that. Now, the question is, did they have any children? What became of those children? That's why I don't think Rey is a Solo. What the fuck's she doing on Jakku or whatever it is? Why is she there? Like, what the hell is going on? I'm sure the film would explain all this, mind you. And, you know, maybe they hit her away. Whatever. You know, that's possible as well. Who knows? Maybe it was Luke's, you know, before Luke went into exile, which is a whole other thing. You know, maybe that was one of the things he said. He's like, if you have any children, you got to do whatever, you know. But I believe more that Kylo Ren is a Solo than I do that Rey is a Solo. And I get that Kathleen Kennedy came out and, you know, we all know that the Skywalker family is the tie that binds.
And that
the
we
Star
will,
Wars saga, and the whole universe.
Not only that, but the Skywalker family will continue its story in this new saga. So we already know there's a new Skywalker, or Skywalker will continue. Who that is, we don't know. I think that's why the speculation is there, because fans have already been told there's another Skywalker. I mean, to me, I don't know about you. Maybe I'm wrong. Who knows what happened here, but I doubt that Finn is a Skywalker. Am I wrong?
I mean, maybe
it's possible.
Maybe Lando got Leia really drunk.
Dude, that's the first time we have to make a meme for that. That's the first time I've seen that. That's almost perfect.
I don't even know. You can't. You do it. Oh, you're going to take a piss, are you? All right, well, fine. I reckon I'll keep ranting about stuff. Now, there's two shots in the trailer. First shot is a shot of Kylo Ren and the Knights of Ren. These followers of his, or whatever you want to call them, that are all standing around him in the rain. It's very, very dark. And Justin even sent me a screenshot of this earlier of what appears to be someone in Mandalorian armor. And then there's the shot of Han Solo and Finn and Rey walking past this big droid into what looks like a temple of some kind. And on the temple, you can see one of the Mandalorian insignias. or something like that. So this has led to speculation by fanboys who love to fillet Boba Fett until there's no fucking tomorrow that Boba Fett's coming back. Boba Fett flew out of the Sarlacc.
He's in the
Boba
film.
Fett's gotta be. No, he's not. Fuck you. He's not in the film. He's not.
That's
he's not.
Him.
He's
That's
dead.
Him.
He's dead.
That's him.
He is slowly being digested. He is 30 years into, and he's got 970 more to go inside the Sarlacc. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead. He is a nobody. He is a zero nothing character. He's got like four lines of dialogue in the entire original trilogy, and he gets bitch slapped by a blind dude, and his jetpack breaks, and he falls into a fucking big mouth in the desert. He's nothing. He's nobody. The EU created this whole fucking mythical thing out of Boba Fett and made him this massive monster badass. And then, to make matters even worse, Lucas shoehorns him into the prequels with possibly the worst fucking child actor this side of Jake Lloyd in Daniel Logan and makes him fucking spew shit all over the screen every time he's fucking on it. Get him, Ted! Yeah! Like, oh my... Oh, dude, I can't even... No, Boba Fett is not in this movie. Now, is it possible that there is a Mandalorian or Mandalorians in this film, or that it takes place somewhere where there are Mandalorians? Entirely possible. Boba Fett's not the only Mandalorian, but Boba Fett is not in this movie. And I guarantee you, I will tell you right now, I will rate it a star lower if he's in it. For any reason, I don't care why. Because if he's in it, it will be as bad as Lucas shoehorning C-3PO into the prequel trilogy. Just, he's in it for fan service. That's the only reason. There's no good reason to resurrect this character. His story arc was finished in Jedi. Finished really shittily, but it was finished in Jedi. There's nothing left for this character. Let him die. He's got 970 years. Let him digest very, very painfully and slowly. Dead. Dead.
D-E-D. Dead.
Yes.
However,
D-E-D dead.
There's so much more about this trailer. So much.
I don't want to focus on the negatives of this trailer because, like Justin said,
I didn't feel.
Like,
yeah,
well, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to focus on it because, like you said, you had the tears running down your face and everything, and I didn't necessarily have the tears running down my face. Yesterday was a big day for me for a lot of reasons, as you know, both my grandmother passing and everything. So you know, I had a lot of emotion riding in me. But this it made the hair, especially. When the Falcon zooms in over the fucking desert being chased by the TIE fighters into the wreckage of the Star Destroyer, we get another shot of that great, great battle. And they play Leia's theme, that updated version of it that I'm hoping that we're going to hear in The Force Awakens. And that, like you said, the solo voiceover, and even if I disagree with its narrative intent, I still love its delivery and I still love... It's mythic quality. I still absolutely love everything that surrounds it. And like, what about what we get to learn about Rey in this trailer? What about what we get to learn about Finn in this trailer? You know, stuff like that. You know, there's so many questions that this trailer raises. There's so many amazing, amazing moments. We get more confirmation anyway, that Kylo Ren is definitely somebody who's probably at least obsessed with Darth Vader.
Which you said that you don't necessarily like, but for me...
I don't know.
I think it may help it work. I think that because he doesn't need to be a Sith to be able to harness the Force.
I agree with that.
Which we know he's not, as we're told he's not. But I like the idea of that obsession to the extent of a person becoming so obsessed with a legend that they actually put their whole life into that to become what they can be. I mean, like the idea.
That's how
of,
you're going to become Lieutenant Eckhart.
They're drinking Drano. But you get my point, though. I mean, like, I know that you don't like that idea, but I think outside of them just shoehorning in another
only
Sith,
because, and I just want to squeeze this in there, and I'm going to let you rant for a while because I've been talking a lot about this, and I want to let you get into all the good stuff in this trailer because there's so many good things. But one of the earliest concerns that I had, way before we even knew what the title of this Star Wars film was, when we first learned that, you know, Abrams and Kasdan had come in and, you know, you had Michael Arndt had written a script based on Lucas's treatment, And the one thing that I was afraid of early on was that they were going to make this film, they were going to try to do too much to tie it to the original trilogy. They were going to try to do too much instead of letting it become its own living, breathing thing. And with the trailers, I'm at least very happy to say that there's not a ton of it. But I just don't feel like Vader's presence is going to be felt in the film anyway. I don't feel like you need that overt reference to him by making Kylo Ren like this, you know, this person that's obsessed with Darth Vader, or this person that follows in the footsteps of Darth Vader wanting to eliminate the Jedi or whatever that even means. We don't even really know what Kylo Ren's quote means.
That's the best thing about this, and that'll start me getting into what I have to say about this. I talked about this a lot today on social media. The one thing I love about J.J. Abrams is how secretive he is about his projects. He literally goes by the old school mentality that we know of from the likes of Spielberg and filmmakers of the late 70s and through the 80s, even in the early 90s, before social media was a thing where you could go on and search on Google and find out a whole bunch of spoilers about a movie or see a poster for a movie or a trailer. You only saw that trailer in the theater when you were watching another movie, or you only found out about it through a magazine or a newspaper article. You know, the idea is here that for me, I've literally stayed away from all possible spoilers for The Force Awakens. And which yes,
absolutely is absolutely the way to go. And I'm proud of both of us, but more so you, because you're pretty bad at tripping over spoilers even when you don't want to.
I literally don't know anything at all about the actual storyline of this film. I still can watch all three of the trailers, the teaser, the first trailer, and the final trailer, which I hate to say that's the final trailer because I am so used to seeing so much more, giving more away, but I love it. Like, I still don't know what the film is. Obviously, we have bits and pieces of what we're going to see, and characters like Captain Phasma are still a mystery, deep mystery.
Oh, absolutely. We've never seen Supreme Leader Snoke.
Exactly.
We do hear Lupita Nyong'o in the trailer. At least I believe that's her at the end of the trailer. But we still have no idea what her character looks like. It's going to be a mocap character as well. Andy Serkis is doing Supreme Leader Snoke. You know, there are so many different characters that we know absolutely nothing about, or even like the characters we have seen, but we've only seen glimpses of them, like Oscar Isaac's Poe Dameron. You know, we know nothing about any of these characters.
We only see Poe in like the one shot with him and Finn, and he's about to get in an X-wing fighter, and he's about to go off, and it looks like go on a battle, which is very reminiscent of the end of
A New Hope.
A New Hope.
A New Hope, yeah.
And we see Kylo Ren, which looks like, to me, and a lot of fans are speculating, that he's interrogating him. He's using the Force against him.
Yeah, to torture people. And that's kind of cool. You know,
we haven't seen that before.
We have not, and I love that idea. I love the idea of, you know, and fine, Kylo Ren's not a Sith or anything like that, but he's learned how to use the Force in a dark, dark way, even darker than shooting lightning out of his fucking hands or anything like that, which I do hope we see at some point again in the sequel trilogy. I'm not going to lie.
All I care about here, and I can see it in the trailer, I feel it. Number one, we can make fun of that close-up of the mask. I actually thought the close-up of Finn taking off his Stormtrooper helmet, I thought the helmet looked cheap in that shot too. Hey, whatever. They're doing as much practical as they possibly can. When you're using cameras and then high definition really shows that stuff a lot more than it did in the late 70s and early 80s, you know, I don't care. But I think, like, for me, Kylo Ren is a very strong presence. You only see bits and pieces, but what I feel from him is just as powerful as Vader. Now, granted, I may have felt that same feeling back when I was, let's see, how old was I? I was in high school, and we saw the first two trailers for The Phantom Menace. When I first saw those shots of Darth Maul.
And they
literally promoted that film so heavily on his appearance and his face, everything you saw Darth Maul. And granted, when I watched, you know, episode one not long ago. I actually really, really love the stuff you still see him in. He's definitely a very brutal and strong villain. You don't see much of him, but he's not that powerful of a force as I think and I feel like Kylo Ren will be. And that's what I care about. You need someone as strong of a presence as Vader. And in my opinion, no one else in the entire Star Wars history has been a strong of an actual villain as Vader has.
No, and I would definitely agree. And no matter what, you know, some people will complain and say that prequels ruined Vader's character. I don't agree with that, obviously. But
no,
you know, a lot of people will say that it's. I don't even know. I lost my train of thought. But it's you never really get that sense of doom or that just sense of that sense of evil tension, I guess, from any of the villains in the prequel trilogy. And I don't think that that's a fault of the villains themselves. I think that if you look at them and then if you try to expand on them endlessly, like people did with Boba Fett, and that's why fanboys love him so much. But if you take and you create this elaborate backstory around a Darth Maul, a Darth Tyrannus, or General Grievous even, these are really, really great characters. It's just that Lucas didn't give them enough. He didn't let them really flourish on the screen. And probably the best of them, I think, anyway, for me, is Count Dooku or Darth Tyrannus, which, you know, it played by the unbelievably great Christopher Lee. So he immediately just brings that level of gravitas
to
that role.
And I love him in that. But to me, like, there's a certain feeling you get with these villains.
Yeah. And nothing touches Vader. You're right. I agree.
It sucks because when you look at Christopher Lee, I mean, I was just thinking recently because it's the 31-day horror challenge for here at Epic Film Guys. And I'm watching movies with Christopher Lee, and this guy is just like a force of nature. And you put him in a Star Wars movie, and you expect him to be, I mean, obviously Lucas has that idea in mind, and rightly so. I mean, he's great in the Lord of the Rings films as well. God rest his soul. But point being, as I was saying, this is the first time.
I did just want to mention, if you want me to squeeze this in here.
Squeeze it.
I just read this article, I think it was yesterday, about the voice actor for Darth Maul, which I actually never knew that it wasn't Ray Park. It was actually Pete Serafinovich that voiced the character. He went on a podcast and he completely bitched about his experience on the film and how he was underpaid for it. He was the voice actor. All he did was voice work, and he has like 3 fucking lines in the whole movie, which probably amounted to about an hour's work. Sometimes, like I don't begrudge Hollywood actors their fame and their fortune. I really don't most of the time. But in cases like this, shut the fuck up. You probably worked for maybe a day on this movie, saying these lines a few different times onto a fucking track, peaced out and said you're like, shut up. I can't even deal with it.
Dissing on Darth Maul's voice actor, huh?
Is that what's in style? I'm sorry, but that's a level of pretension that I can't even begin to fucking approach. Like, I get that the prequels aren't the most lauded of all films, and I get that they definitely have their flaws. But
Nick,
dude, like, the dude's bitching about being underpaid for the film. He worked literally for like a fucking hour on it, probably.
But Nick, The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens. I know. I am. This is me. I get so distracted by shit.
I know you do. We need to get more compact here. Not really, actually. We can do whatever the fuck we want. We're the epic film guys. Point being, we are running very, very over our normal, even our hour time frame. We know it's Star Wars. The Force Awakens trailer.
That's why we wanted to do it.
The Force Awakens trailer. This is an event. I mean, literally, these events only happen maybe a couple times in a person's lifetime. This is for real, people. If you're listening right now, you know this feeling. I mean, I'm sure people that when they first saw the first Star Wars trailer for A New Hope, they felt the same thing. You name it. I mean, there's
even the first trailer for Phantom Menace. The first trailer for Phantom Menace, people bought tickets. People bought tickets to see movies and walked out.
I did. Well,
all they wanted to see was that trailer.
I remember.
You did that.
Actually, I didn't buy tickets. I actually walked in because I knew the person working at the theater.
Sneaky fucker.
And I forgot what crappy movie it was that it was attached to. Now, granted, I watch all movies, so whatever. I've always done that since I was younger. But I did walk in, watch the trailer, and left. And I could not wait. I mean, dude, this is such a huge deal. I mean, this is... My experience getting tickets yesterday was insane. It broke the internet. I sat in front of my computer for 45 minutes trying to order tickets, and by the point I was done with it, I couldn't handle it. I drove 20 miles to the theater, and while I'm waiting in line, someone in front of me bought 100 tickets for this thing. There's nothing bigger. And I know you won't disagree with me. There's nothing bigger than Star Wars. You can talk about Hunger Games. You can talk about Harry Potter. You can talk about even Marvel or Batman Superman, as much as I love that. Nothing is bigger than Star Wars.
And that's A Bug's Life, Meet Joe Black, The Waterboy, and The Siege were some of the movies that the teaser trailer for The Phantom Menace was first attached to. Just a little factoid there. Because I went to the power of Google. I don't just know shit like this off the top of my head. My knowledge is actually somewhere sub-basement level or some shit. I don't even know. But yeah, you are absolutely 100% right. Event in every sense of the word. Like I said, I am excited for the finale to the Mockingjay or the Hunger Games, I should say. Mockingjay Part 2. I am excited for that, even though I was not a big, big fan of the first part. And, of course, we've got a new James Bond film landing.
A couple weeks from now.
In October as well.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, November.
I'm
very excited about Spectre. However, I'm very wary of the second half of Mockingjay, only because me and you both agreed on this, and I will not spend a lot of time on that at all. We'll get to that when we both see that week, because we'll be a little bit cooled off from Star Wars for a couple weeks and our horror challenge. But we both agreed, and I did not enjoy Mockingjay Part 1 at all. It felt like a first half of like a fucking TV movie. Give me a break. I know what you're doing, studios. You're doing the same thing that, you know, TV companies are doing with trying to split it in half, make more money. I get what you're trying to do. I get the point. You gave
that was one of the things
half
that people,
of a film.
Yeah, people don't understand why I dislike Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2 more than any of the Harry Potter films. Well, maybe not any of them, but why it ranks lower on the list for me. And it's, if you watch the whole fucking saga as one, it's a great finale to the entire saga, but it's not a great film on its own. And Part 1, if you remember correctly, first Harry Potter movie I ever saw. I had never seen any of the other ones. Girl I was dating at the time took me to see it, and I fucking loved it, because even though it was a Part 1, it was still a great self-contained film. It still did its own thing. It didn't, you know, leave anything on the table. I mean, obviously there was foreshadowing for stuff to come, obviously, but that's what I think a good Part 1 should be, or a good Part 2 should be, is a self-contained film. And Mockingjay Part 1 was in not even fucking close. Nowhere near it. It was all fucking build up, and then it immediately, the credits roll, and you're left with your dick in your hand.
I didn't even have mine in my hand. I had my hand over my face palming. That's all I can tell you about that. But honestly, hey, Nick.
The Force Awakens.
And I think I want to leave on that note. Our podcast is really at the end right here. We had a lot to say. There's probably a lot more to say, and I know we'll talk
a lot more
in future podcasts, because that trailer was a lot to soak in, and we are literally at the end here. And we just want you guys to know we appreciate you listening. We appreciate you liking and commenting on our Twitter page and on our Facebook page. Everything you do makes us want to do this even more. You're the reason we do it, aside from the fact that we're two guys that love movies. We like talking about it. We don't give a shit. This is what we do in our free time, and we're going to continue to do it probably until we're dead. But
we love to drink, and we love to talk movies, and we've got extreme passion, and that's one thing I'm very, very happy To not only be able to do it by myself, but to have somebody like Justin to do it with.
And we'd like you to join in too. If anyone ever wants to join the podcast or ever wants to be a part of it, wants a shout out,
come on in.
Get a hold of us for real. We're all about giving shout outs to other podcasts. We're new in the podcast game, but we want to keep doing our stuff and getting involved any way that we can. And just,
and that's a great segue, by the way, because
there
we
it
do
is.
Have we do have a shout couple out. Of podcasts that I've been talking to a lot, and one of them is Classy Little Podcast. They're actually going to spin a promo for us during their Back to the Future episode, which also is going to air today, since it is officially Future Day or Back to the Future
Back
Day.
Back to the Future Day, October 21st, 2015.
James and Emily, thank you very much. I love their podcast. They kind of talk about everything, but they get a bottle of wine or a couple bottles of wine. And they love to eat and drink wine and just talk about everything. I love their podcast. And the other one is the Countdown Podcast. It's two guys out of Australia. Absolutely love these guys. They have a far better knowledge of film than I do. Justin, you would actually probably really love their podcast. So if you're not listening to their podcast yet, you really should. But they're Paul and Wayne. Again, they're out of Australia, and they gave us a shout-out a couple times, so we want to give it back to them. Listen to our podcast, please. We love, love, love new listeners, but check out these other guys as well, because there's a lot of really great podcasts out there, which I discover more and more every week as I get further into this community.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. Honestly, right now, right in the midst of the 31-Day Horror Challenge, I'm waiting for Pepsi Perfect to release online right now, and it's not happening, so I'm pretty upset.
Shit, it's a half an hour late now.
Who knows what Pepsi's doing? Amazon and Walmart, they're probably fucking it up. But I'm waiting for that, but, dude, get this.
The internet's still broken from the Star Wars tickets
The Force Awakens. So the Force Awakens. The Force Awakens. I'm going to take my 12-inch, no, not what you're thinking, Kylo Ren figure that I bought months ago.
Listen,
I'm gonna take it to work tomorrow.
Your body's 12 inches long.
I'm gonna go put it on my desk and I'm gonna sit there and stare at him, and I'm gonna think to myself,
I will finish what you started.
And I can't say enough. I will leave. This is the last comment I'm gonna make on this podcast. I worried for months that Kylo Ren's voice would be lame or not threatening, and I absolutely love it. Could not
I
be
need
happier
to hear
with it.
I need to hear it deliver some other lines. But anyway, thank you very much. And this is Epic Film Guy, Nick.
Epic Film Guy Justin is here as well. And thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Real
this
Rundown
super
Podcast.
Super-sized Real Rundown Podcast. Thank you
Boom.
Very much.
Star Wars, yeah. The Force Awakens. And Back to the Future.
December 17th, baby.
Future Day today.
Yes.
Live it up.
And we will, well, I won't see